Hey Jay, what's up?
Hey, not much. What are you up to?
Having a nightcap. How about you?
Oh, I just poured myself one.
What are you drinking?
Well, I've been feeling a little bit under the weather today, so I decided to have an emergency mixed with schnapps, peppermint schnapps, actually.
Jay,
I haven't really come up with a name for this.
I thought I told you earlier that when you're feeling poorly, it's whiskey.
Yeah, well, we don't have any is the problem, and nor do we have any money.
Sad. That is a sad comment. Well, you
Yeah.
just had your landline shut off, huh? So I'm calling you
Well, we didn't
on
have
your.
it. I mean, it was intentional. It wasn't like we were in arrears or anything.
But you intentionally shut it off as an economization measure, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it was partially an economization measure and partially because the only people who called that were telemarketers and people calling for my mother-in-law.
So
So there
now
was
you're on
really
a
not
mobile
much
phone.
sense in him. Yeah. And so now we're living on mobile phones and stealing high-speed internet via wireless from our next-door neighbors.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, my neighbors do that to me.
Yeah.
But we too have no landline here, so you and I are kind of in the same boat, and we're talking mobile to mobile,
Yeah. Yeah.
and recording it, of course. Last time we had a just incredible conversation, a
Yeah,
real
it was the
soul
most
searching.
enlightening thing in my life.
And of course, due to a technical glitch, that conversation somehow did not get recorded. And
Yeah.
so it's been lost to the annals of time.
Right, exactly. So it's almost like it didn't exist, except you and I know it existed.
Yeah, and only we will know how
Yeah.
truly intriguing that conversation really was. However, I think, in order to balance things out, we should endeavor to make this conversation as uninteresting and boring as possible.
Yeah, well, it's been nice talking to
Yeah. So, how are you doing?
you. Well, I'm doing okay. I mean, I feel like I'm teetering on that edge between illness and wellness. And I'm not sure that this drink is going to do much help. The emergency that I poured into it, the little packet of that stuff that a lot of people swear by and other people think is just snake oil powder. What I've discovered here is that there is, in fact, a way to make peppermint schnapps taste worse.
And that's to pour emergency in it.
Yeah. It's kind of like this, you know how when you like suck on a lemon, it kind of makes the back of your throat tense up and twinge, and you just feel like, like that. Well, that's how I
Yeah.
feel.
Never heard it described quite that way before, but well, for my
Yeah.
part, I'm having some bourbon whiskey. In with just a little bit of this Creole Clement Creole shrub orange liqueur thrown in there and a dash of bitters.
Well,
It's a kind of a
it
cocktail of
sounds
my
like
own creation.
you still have a stocked liquor cabinet.
Yeah, the economic global downturn, we're scoffing at it here.
Yeah. I was looking through the liquor cabinet, seeing what was in there, and actually the peppermint schnapps is about the only bottle that has more than a shot in it. It's kind of strange. We had a bottle of Johnny Walker Red Label Scotch with less than a swallow left in it. And here I have a bottle. I pulled it out. I thought, if I get really crazy, I might drink this. There's a bottle that I've had for quite a while of Ron Añejo Aniversario Reserva Exclusiva imported rum from Venezuela. It's really good stuff. It's kind of a sipping rum. But once again, there's not even a shot in the bottom of it. There's a
Not
bottle
a,
of Grey Goose vodka in there with about a shot in it,
you
and a
are.
bottle of McCormick vodka in there with just about a shot in it. I don't know what's going on. It's kind of like, when everybody's sitting around and somebody orders an appetizer and, it's like whatever, fried cheese sticks or something. Nobody ever eats the last one.
Well,
And this is kind of like that.
Yes, what I was going to observe is that, in my experience, they all go empty at once.
Yeah, yeah.
All those bottles, because of probably the phenomenon that you're describing, they just sit there. Although, you know, I'm about the only person who drinks this alcohol in my house. It's not like anybody else is saving it to be polite, and I've had the same phenomena. All the bottles go empty at once.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to admit that on my part, I think part of the reason why I've kept those in there is just so that I have, you know, if somebody comes over here and really wants a little bit of scotch, you know, ostensibly I could offer them that last
little bit of scotch.
This last little pour of rum. The problem is that in my enthusiasm for those spirits prior to leaving them there, I had drunk them down a little bit too much. So, I don't even have a little bit. I have an embarrassment in a bottle.
Well, can I tell you how my day started?
Sure.
Because it was kind of bizarre.
Right on.
Woke up to the sound of screaming, and Christy had just left the house, and I was pretty sure that it was not her screaming outside. But I
so this wasn't like your baby screaming?
No, no, no. This is like a grown woman screaming outside somewhere, screaming like bloody murder, you know?
Wow.
It's quite early in the morning, and, you know, A little screaming like that at night, don't think anything of it. But in the morning, it really gets your attention. So anyway, I kind of stuck my head out on the porch, and sure enough, Christy was there with some other neighbors gathered around the house across the street from us. Christy was waiting for her carpool to pick her up. But they had determined that the screaming was coming from that house, from the lower right-hand apartment, the fourplex.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy was like going down the side of the house and throwing rocks up at the window, where apparently a man was strangling a woman, and and she was telling me to call 911. So I did, and I reported that there was an altercation at this address, blah blah blah, and there's all kinds of people coming and going from this place. Next thing you know, Christy has, you know, got the ride, and she's off to work. And a few minutes later, the cops show up and knock on the door. By this time, everything is quiet. Nobody answers the door. I'm like, I don't have, you know, pants on or anything, so I'm trying to, when I see the cops roll up, I try to get dressed real quick, or at least, you know, to put on some shoes and some pants.
Mm-hmm.
I have to run down there and explain to them what's going on. But by the time I do, it's too late. They're already gone. There you have it. Now, Christy's theory on what happened is that she kind of pieced this together from a number of different things, that the Latino guys in that apartment hired a couple of prostitutes, a white woman and a black woman, and they were over there having a good time or whatever, you know, whatever it is that people do with you know, prostitution.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know from personal experience.
Right.
Anyway, and then apparently maybe one of the women tried to steal some money or take some money from the guy. There's some misunderstanding about money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy was trying to get the money back and got physical, and it turned into a fight. And the white woman took off. The black woman was still there, apparently getting strangled. And then, I guess, with all the threats of, hey, we're calling the police and throwing rocks at the window and whatnot, he let her go, and she left with her money. And she made some kind of remark as she departed that kind of rubbed Christy the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Christy said, don't ever come back here again because I've got your license plate number.
She said that to Christy, or Christy said that to her?
She said that to the woman. Yeah.
Christy said that to the woman? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And our neighbor in the upstairs apartment above this where all this madness was happening, came over this afternoon and said that she thought that whole thing was pretty funny. Especially when Christy was yelling, "You motherfucker!" Which Christy didn't even remember yelling, but she said it was quite a funny start to the day.
Yeah, well, all's well that ends well, I suppose. I mean, it strikes me as the exact kind of thing that Christy should not in any way have gotten involved in, though. No offense to her, but that's how people get shot.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that risk, I suppose. But on the other hand, people often decry the fact that in our modern society and urban environments and so forth, everybody's just minds their own business. Oh, I don't want to get involved. And if you see another, if they see another person in pain or suffering, they don't do anything. They don't reach out a hand. They don't try to help. So it's a balancing act, And
no, it certainly is. I think that you just have to go in. I probably said that wrong.
I'm always one to jump in head first.
As a matter of fact, I almost did so in the grocery line at Safeway tonight, which is a kind of funny story that I'll tell you in a moment. But yeah, totally. It's important to stand up for your fellow person when they're under threat of violence, but you sure better be ready to duck and cover too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like she went into the apartment or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
It is something.
Yeah, it sure is.
Pardon me.
And other things are things too.
Well.
Yeah. So I was going to tell you, I had this kind of strange experience. I was at Safeway tonight, the local grocery store that is just down the street from me. And I had kind of gathered my goods, was in the process of, I'd gone up to the front and was actually in the process of counting how much I was pretty sure things would cost. Because I had a $10 off coupon, and I thought, I'm pretty sure that I can afford this, but I'm tired of being embarrassed about, having my card declined or something because I tried to buy too much stuff. And so I was standing there in line, and I noticed first that there was this very distinct and strong odor emanating from this kind of skinny, bedraggled-looking guy who was in line in front of me.
Huh.
And my first thought was he may have had some kind of an altercation with a skunk. My mind soon jumped back to those heady days of my 20s when that smell was more familiar to me, and I realized the guy was just really stoned. But yet he wasn't.
That he crapped in his pants.
No. No, he just had that kind of stoner pot smell on him. But yet he was, I could kind of tell he was a little twitchy.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, I just kind of noticed him out of the corner of my eye. I'm still counting the price of my goods in the basket. And then all this stuff happened right at once. This woman walked up behind me in line, she started talking to me, and it turns out that she was the mother of a girl who went on this trip to China that we went on last year that I documented for the newspaper. And she was just, she recognized me and my son from pictures she'd seen, and she was just thrilled to meet us and was, being really sweet and gushing about the coverage. But I soon lost focus on what she was saying, which was really rude of me, but the din, so I'm facing backward in the line toward her, but the din behind me was drowning her out as the guy in line was screaming at the checkout guy about the price of his bagels. The checkout guy kept saying, I'm trying to explain to you, sir, and the guy in the line is saying, there's nothing to explain. You've got the wrong price. It's the wrong price. You've got a label on the thing back. This thing escalated from, is that price right, to, I'm going to rip your fucking head off in a matter of mere seconds. And, you know, so like this conversation between me and the woman in line kind of trailed off as we both were like, okay, is this going to be a fist fight? I mean, the guy was just completely out of control. And so I kind of, you know, edged around partway to see if, you know, because it always sucks when somebody like goes apeshit, you know, and you're not at least facing them so you can dodge, you know. And I've got my son with me also, so I'm thinking, do I need to like take him and run or what? And then the manager by this time is over there, and they finally get through this thing, but the guy is just irate, even after they correct the price on his bagels, you know, which was a difference of like $1.50, I think, on a dozen bagels.
He was correct.
And as he walked out, he was still just shouting at the top of his lungs, these people don't know what the fuck they're doing, blah, blah, you know, just making a complete ass of himself, frankly. And it made me realize a few things. One of them is that, you know, sometimes just because a guy looks like he's, or smells like he's stoned, that doesn't mean it's the only thing he's on. And I suspect that other influences were coming to bear on his judgment, shall we say.
Sure.
And the other thing was, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, a little friendly disagreement between two people seemed like it was just about to escalate into sudden, completely random and physical violence. And so, you know, got to watch out for that stuff.
I always do.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that
after,
just,
after that happened, I – oh, go ahead.
That was just today that that happened to you?
Yeah, it was just about an hour ago.
Well, that is bizarre. Then we both had kind of strange encounters with aggressive behavior.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes there some days are just like that. You know, my day actually began with a fairly unpleasant difficulty, shall we say, because I wrote a story yesterday about a guy who recently passed away, and I interviewed four of his children, and apparently there were two other children that nobody bothered to mention to me, and in fact, from all the indications that I received, there were no other children, and so they weren't mentioned in the story, and it caused a whole, you know, family meltdown because everybody's upset about dad being gone, and now two of the kids aren't even acknowledged, so it's as if they don't exist, as I was told.
Wow.
So that always sucks.
That is pretty heavy. I didn't really think that that's where you were headed with that anecdote.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, such things are always the reporter's fault. So.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now that I've unloaded all my problems, and unloaded my glass of that heinous liquid, and I actually have to admit, I also drank the last little swig of that Ron Añejo, and I have to say, it almost tasted like maybe somebody put some brown water into that bottle. Either it was so smooth that it didn't seem to have any alcohol in it, or somebody's messing with my liquor cabinet.
Hmm. Or you're congested and you can't smell or something.
You think?
Well, it's possible. I mean, you said you feel like you're coming down with something.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's quite possible.
Well, Jay, I wanted to veer into the realm, potentially, into the realm of outright techno-geekery.
Mm-hmm.
And remark on something that you had said earlier. I think we were exchanging text messages or something after that vanished recording. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know that we are using a free service called GCast to record these conversations from the telephone.
Yeah.
And you've made some kind of remark like, well, you know, we probably need to find another way of doing it. And
mm-hmm.
Over the, of course, over the medium of text messages, I didn't really feel like we could get into that in any kind of depth. But
right.
I was curious as to whether you had any idea whatsoever what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Okay.
except insofar as
I mean,
it seems that there's...
Let,
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Can I just interject also? I think one of the things that you observed was that we need to get beyond telephones because they're such a low-fidelity medium.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you're in Missoula there, and I'm
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So how we're going to communicate without using telephones, I really don't know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, telephone lines are what carry the Internet and all of that. But it's funny that you should bring that up because there was, you know, just tonight on the national broadcast of NPR's All Things Considered, there was an interview that they broadcast that seemed to be live and over the telephone between one of the hosts in Washington, D.C., and a video store owner in Missoula, Montana, who I know. I happen to know.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And the interesting thing is that, you know, the story that they were reporting was essentially, you know, they must have picked up on one of the stories that we ran in the Missoulian about, you know, this video store had decided to close a week ago, and then one of their faithful customers came in and heard about it and just offered the guy a business loan because he couldn't get one from the bank. And so, you know, it's kind of an interesting story in this economic time that we live in. And,
well, I'll have to dig
up
that link because I like to post relevant links to the website when we record these things, believe it or not.
Yeah, so it'll be there by the time this shows up.
No.
And so, but the fidelity of the recording, you know, it was as if you were sitting there in the room with those people.
Really?
Yeah. And I know that that we don't have quite the expense account here to utilize the kind of facilities that they're using. They probably had them go into the local public radio station and do that or something. I don't know, but
yeah,
you know, there's all sorts of solutions these days to these things. You know, there's dare I say it, Skype, which you seem to have a fundamental issue with, or at least last time we talked about it, you did.
Actually,
but then people could see our faces.
What?
People could see our faces.
On Skype?
Yeah.
Because we'd be doing a video recording?
Well, Skype is, it's video and audio.
Well, not necessarily. It can be audio only.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But you're saying that we would record not only the audio, but the video.
Sure. You know, then, you know, we could provide people with, I'm just throwing this out there. I've never even tested
crazy.
This. I have no idea if it's
just,
possible, but I would.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you would record either two video streams or one. I mean, generally speaking, if we're on a Skype connection with video, I'm not seeing my video and you're not seeing your video. We're seeing each other's video. And so what gets recorded where, I don't know. But I would also want to point out that I believe Skype audio fidelity is probably comparable to phone fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, that phone fidelity, although it is lower than what you would hear, for example, in the NPR interview or on your home stereo hi-fi, nevertheless is perfectly adequate for voice. And, you know, that's what this conversation is. So I'm thinking, you know, that the phone fidelity is not a problem. In fact,
mm-hmm.
I think it's adequate to the needs of the purpose at hand.
Yeah.
But anyway, all of which is to say that an alternative to GCast might be nice because there have been a couple technical hiccups along the way with
mm-hmm.
GCast. But generally speaking, it's pretty good. And considering it's free, I would have to say it's excellent.
Free is often better than not free, especially given
and
that I have
not
no money.
And
did I mention that I'm broke?
No.
Yeah.
You've kind of alluded to the general hard scrabble nature of your existence, but you haven't actually come out and said you're broke.
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's $50 sitting around or something like that, but And I get paid Friday, but, you know, that entire check has to go to the mortgage, so.
Lean times.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily global economic downturn related.
It is in a way. Yeah, it is. Because the reason why we're broke right now is not because, well, I mean, I haven't gotten a pay reduction at work at the Missoulian, at the newspaper that I work for.
Thank heaven.
I have not, well, I have and I haven't. They've actually completely slashed, I'd say they've slashed probably 10% of my income in the form of completely eliminating their contributions to my 401k retirement account. But
what?
Yeah. So the only, I put money into it, but they don't anymore.
That's tough.
Yeah, it sucks really bad. But so far they haven't affected the day-to-day paycheck. But what has affected me, well, you know, and so that reduction in the 401k contributions is a direct result of the global economic meltdown. And the other thing is that...
Journalism meltdown.
Yeah. And the other thing that's affected us here is that I own this little tile installation company with a friend.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that business has pretty much died out. Well, it hasn't died out, but it's...
Right, it used to provide a trickle of a bonus, little side income for you.
Yeah, it'd be just enough to, you know, give us a little bit of a cushion every month so that we weren't, you know, spending the paycheck in the first week and then starving the second week like we've been doing this time.
Well... And, of course, I've mentioned to you before that we seem to be in a little bubble of our own down here in the New Orleans Gulf Coast area because of the recovery economy.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen it cited as this is a kind of a good place to, you know, ride out the recession, although I don't know how true that might be. Of course, I'm also in a completely different sector of the economy than you, education sector, so...
Yeah.
Different dynamic at work.
Well, in the education sector, I think we talked about this in our ill-fated, disrecorded conversation the other night. You know, education sector generally does fairly well in tough times like this, at least as far as people wanting to spend money on getting further education.
Yeah, although they have said that, you know, this could be a little bit different because of the nature of the crisis, especially the fact that it's, you know, in the credit, the problems in the credit industry, I guess, you know, the
mm-hmm.
financing of credit, because, you know, people need credit to go to school because school is so freaking expensive.
These
days, higher education. And in our school in particular, a lot of, you know, financial aid students, a lot of people not from necessarily from families of means by any stretch of the imagination.
Mean.
Yeah. They're lacking in means. So
right.
That's part of our mission as a university. And you know, then there's also the question of, is this really just a kind of a short recession like we've seen in our lifetimes, you and I, or
mm-hmm.
is it something bigger and badder?
Right.
In which case, you know, who knows what the future might hold. But
that is
big, weighty, profound stuff that I don't pretend to understand. And I do
Although it's
that,
fun to talk about it.
Yeah, it's fun to speculate. Have you seen Obama on the TV these last couple of days? He was in Elkhart, Indiana, and then he was down there in Florida, and he was taking it to the people.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess you do that.
No, I don't have TV.
Well,
yeah, we cut that off a while back too.
Have you heard of this wonderful thing called broadcast?
Yeah, we do. Have I mentioned to you that we don't have rabbit ears anymore?
You had to mortgage them too, or what?
No, a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, my niece and nephew were over at the house playing.
Oh, that's right. They broke
Wii.
The rabbit ears. Yes.
And they broke the rabbit ears, and since then I've purchased, I think, two units. You know, little high-tech looking things that didn't do jack shit, and were much worse than the previous rabbit ears, which themselves only got certain channels. Whenever they felt like it. And so
rabbit ears that don't do jack shit. I'm against those, by the way.
Yeah, me too. And so, you know, we have basically transitioned into a television-free household. And
well,
it's a good place to be.
I would love to be there because that is, as I've mentioned, one of the primary tensions in our
mm-hmm.
household. But I seem to be winning that battle. But the thing I would stress to you is that this Obama speechifying is big news, and you don't have to have television. It was on the front page of the newspaper. I don't know about your newspaper, but it was on the front page of our newspaper. And, of course, NPR, which
mm-hmm.
I know you listen to because you admitted to it previously.
Yes.
NPR is all over Obama.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I found
like
it fascinating that he's taking it to the people, which I guess is a way of trying to create, you know, political pressure to get his stimulus bills passed.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly an interesting strategy, you know, after all these years of just having shit crammed down our throats, it's heartening to know that. At least in a kind of PR sense, this administration thinks that it's good to have the American people behind you. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, some things are good, but I'm really not sure what is up with this this plan and, you know, I think that there's something like over $1 trillion now that they're looking for just to help out the banks.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy stuff. And
exactly.
I haven't heard anybody say is anything like, we need to find a new model for an economy which isn't based so much on, never-ending demand for more growth, but on sustainability.
Yeah.
I did hear Obama use the word sustainable, but that's kind of a buzzword that people throw around a lot these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those popular things to say. It sounds good. Things should be sustainable, right? But a different model for the economy, I mean, a model that is has an emphasis on maintaining a kind of, you know, a steady state, if you will, rather than
mm-hmm.
one of constant growth, that would be quite different.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, I'm eating a Cheeto.
It sounded like a Cheeto. Is it one of those extra spicy?
No, it's one of the puffy ones. We got them because we thought, you know, Jules, he likes cheesy things and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of like crack for him, so, you know, we got to be careful and not just feed them to him all the time. We generally actually try to feed him healthy stuff, but, you know, every once in a while,
you
got to let down your guard and let a kid have some kind of crap consumer product.
Mm.
Well, and they're not actually that good.
No, but that's because they're Cheetos.
Mm-hmm. I like the crunchy Cheetos, though.
Well, I recently saw a report on the police blotter here in New Orleans
mm-hmm.
where somebody had their car broken into and somebody stole a bag of Cheetos.
Wow.
Yeah. I did that.
So would that qualify as an actual crime? Or
qualifies as dangerously cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Kind of like this little
podcast. I like to leave on
podcast.
A high note whenever possible. So on that note, I think we should probably say goodbye to one another because it's just not going to get any better.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would like to note that, you know, if anybody who's listened to this all the way through feels any sense of sympathy for my plight, you know, the televised version of this series, or the televised parallel series to this little series, began for quite some time with a plea for someone to send me some alcohol.
But now you just want money.
Actually, you know, alcohol would be fine.
Really, because money mails easier.
Say that again?
Money mails easier.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so money would be fine, and I promise I will spend it on alcohol.
Well, there you go.
How's that?
Well, where should they send that money?
You know, maybe we should link up our PayPal account or something. I don't know. Or they could just send it to my home address, which is 1305 Howell Street in Missoula, Montana, 59802.
59802. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so,
until next time, Jay, I hope you feel better.
Yes, and you as well. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Stay out of the post for me.
Sure. You too.